Welcome to another podcast while I have a rehabilitation stroll. And this is a point where I get to explain or discuss some scientific or interest point. And this time I'm going to discuss the circulation blood supply system for fetuses and how they switch over from the fetal supply to the birth supply or the infant supply at the point of birth. Now, how I got into this was actually following up the legitimacy of an idea that a fabulous new part of the body, which I'd discovered, which is the aorta, goes all the way as a fairly thick tube from your heart down to around your belly button and then starts to divide. And someone pointed out to me, well, that was your umbilical cord. And I thought that was a beautiful idea. I check out how true it is. And with all things, down at this level of depth of interest, things are not necessarily true or false. They're just a window into what is going on. So let's start off with the egg, the ovum, your mum, I suppose, or a woman, and it at ovulation, 12 days from the menstruation, where the actual uterus starts to decay and bleed. It starts at the top of the fallopian tube, and this tube is lined with these little cilia, a hair, and these brush the egg ever so slowly and gently from the ovum down to the uterus, where it will implant. Now, I'm not going too far, but sperm fertilizes the eggs by going through a two-layer shell. First layer locks off the other sperm, and the sperm gets to fertilize the egg. Now, not looking too much at the fetus at this point, from this point onwards, an eggshell begins to grow. A protective layer around the egg goes along, and this gets passed down hair over hair, slowly down the fallopian tube. So this is called a zygote, or a little egg, and it's actually got a little shell. And on the 12th day, fairly precisely on that day, 12 to 16 days, but mostly 12 days, the actual eggshell breaks, and the egg implants itself into the uterus, and it starts to grow there over the next 9 months, but it grows the fetus in a sac and also grows a placenta. So a placenta is a organ, and I suppose it's an external organ to the fetus, which actually sucks or gets oxygen from the mother's blood supply. Now, at this point, we should step back and say that this is a big advance over... Sorry, you can hear the trucks going by. This is a big advance over just laying eggs as the dinosaurs did. But it was part of the overall technology of mammals. Now, not all mammals obviously have placenta. So they're under mammals, there are three groups. That's the monotremes, which are the platypus and the echidna, both Australian animals, and also the marsupials. These don't have placenta. So mammary glands, or feeding the young milk, was a top technology, and under that umbrella you had these other technologies coming out. And only in Australia did you have the survival of monotremes and the rise of marsupials, but in other continents, you've got placental animals, which give life, birth to fairly developed live young. So the marsupials give birth to very small little, I suppose, inchworm fetuses which crawl up into the pouch. So getting back there, over time, this placenta, which incidentally is believed to have come from a mutation of cells which has essentially thinned out as part of the viruses used to go from the mother to the child at birth, and part of this disease, so to speak, led to the development of placental technology. So the placenta basically creates an interface, a highly interlocked capillaries which go between ferry nutrients and oxygen from the mother's blood supply to the infant's blood supply. And the question we have is, how does the blood go from the placenta into the human? And basically, it really is sort of like a combination heart-lung machine for the fetus. So please remember that the heart pumps out blood to the lungs through an artery. Things go out of the lung through arteries, but the actual oxygenated blood comes back into the heart through a vein, the veins from the lung. And so too here, the placenta is acting like a lung, and the main tube, if you like, of oxygenated blood comes up as a vein and deposits at the liver section of the baby, stops there, but it has a small deviation which gets most of the blood to enter the vein for the returning blood in a normal person, the bottom vein going up into the heart, which normally takes returning blood to the heart. So this is where the oxygenated blood comes in. And this would normally be taken by the right part of the heart, the right atrium, and put into the right ventricle and sent to the lungs. But at this stage, rather than old blood going to see, you've got new blood going in here, ready to go. So it doesn't have to actually go to the lungs to get to the rest of the body. So there's probably three. If you start off with the deviation of blood from the liver to the heart is one deviation, but there's also a hole or a window between the two atriums. These are the primers of the heart, and so the heart no longer operates as four chambers, but actually operates as two, because the two atriums are connected. And then the veins, so secretion, the arteries, which go from the heart, the aorta, and the arteries, pulmonary arteries, are connected by a small little tube. So essentially the lungs are bypassed, and there's just a two-chamber heart, because the two atriums are connected and the two ventricles are connected, not in the heart, but immediately above them. And so what happens here is that the oxygenated blood then travels around the body, but it also gets pushed down the aorta, and this is which I think is rather fascinating. It goes down to the aorta, and as the aorta splits up to go down the legs, there are two Sorry about that car. It is a walk around Glenbrook. There are two arteries which come up and also go out your belly button. So at the moment you've got a big vein which goes from the placenta, and then so that's one vein. There are two arteries and they come out. Now, if you can imagine wires, if they were just parallel, they'd just flop everywhere. You'd if you've got three strings, one incoming vein and two outgoing arteries, and they were just straight, they'd flop everywhere. And now, the way that the body does this is that these two arteries go together and they spiral around the incoming vein. So the returning blood, which is returning through an artery, it's hard to get your mind around this, returning through an artery. This is normal. This is the way things normally operate with lungs. So really, the placenta is almost like an external lung. but this umbilical cord, the incoming blood, central tube, around the outside of the tube is just like your extension cord, two arteries side by side, but they're coiled and held neatly together around the outside of the supply vein. And then this is encased in an membrane, like a outer jacket. So there's your umbilical cord, and you'll see this normal stuff that looks like a tube, and you'll see this spiral around the outside. Now, at the time of birth, belly button closes up, and doctors often put a little clamp to make sure that it does, but obviously in animals in the wild there's no delivery suite, but we just do this at this stage and we clamp it off, and then we cut it so the baby is not tethered to the mother. So the clamping and the cutting is more, I suppose, a surgical procedure. So with time, this umbilical cord would drop off to go outside, and the rest just left inside you. You've got your belly button there. So in a sense, the person who said, who listened to my wonder about the fantastic umbilical cord, fantastic aorta, who said, oh look, it must be related to the umbilical cord, they were right, but in another sense they were right in that they got me to research this fantastic switch where there's a special fetal the blood supply switch to fetus, and there's certain holes and interconnections which allow blood to flow from the placenta into the fetus, and then there's that switch at birth, and it's a pretty incredible thing. Thank you very much for listening.